The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. I'm back with another weekly Big Brother 25 breakdown where we'll talk about everything going on in the Big Brother game. Today, I'm joined by my friend, Sinan. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Sharon?
I'm good. Before we get started, I do want to remind the listeners to please subscribe, you know, on podcast app or on YouTube. I drop several videos a week and you don't want to miss any of that. Last week we had Hysam pop in. We're going to maybe have some others pop in. Obviously, I'm doing winner interviews every week. Sin, did you watch my interview with Rachel?
Of course. Rachel is amazing, like usual. Always fun to hear about her. And she also, like, since the beginning of the season, I was like, you need to have Rachel come on because, like, she played the traitors with Rachel. And Sheree's been mentioning Rachel on the feeds, like, all the time. So I was so happy to get that insight about what they talked about preseason.
Yeah, exactly. That was really fun that, you know, Rachel let us know that she talked to Sheree. She knew Jared and Sheree were going in there. So if you haven't checked out my interview with Rachel, definitely go check it out. It's really fun. I'm doing that every week. And yeah, and then obviously the exit interviews on Friday, which have been great. And we'll see what else I have in store. But be sure to subscribe and you won't miss anything. So yeah, let's get into Big Brother this week. I will say again, I don't think I have to warn people, but we do talk about spoilers. So just let you know, we will be talking about the veto competition and the results and everything like that. But let's go back to Thursday. Izzy got evicted. What were your thoughts on her going over Felicia? Was that the right move for Cameron?
So if you've been keeping up with the podcast, all of you obviously know I love Felicia and she's like one of my favorites. However, Izzy was also up there. So seeing them both on the block was heartbreaking for me because Izzy was so entertaining and the show did her so dirty with the edit they gave her because she was like a lightning rod on feet. She'd always be at the center of whatever drama is going on. So seeing her go out like in this way is disappointing. But if she would have gone out, I'm happy that at least that's at the like cost of Felicia staying, which I love Felicia, so it's always happy to have her in the game.
Yeah, I think either way, it was a bummer. I like you said, yeah. they really haven't been showing Izzy on the show much, which sucks because she's so fun on the feeds. If you haven't already, like on Twitter, there's plenty of clips of just Izzy, like, you know, her chaoticness. It's so good. So it was really sad seeing her go. You know, on her way out, she had quite the exit. She, you know, Cameron, I think, went to hug her. She pushed him away and said, you know, buddy, you're next or whatever. He's still complaining about it today. It's now Sunday.
Yeah, that's the Izzy we got on the feeds. Not the pushing part, but the wanting to push part more. So she was, since night one of feeds, she's been like, I get serial killer vibes from Cameron. Since night one, day one. So seeing that all culminate with calling him a pig and pushing him like feels, you know, right for her story, I guess.
Yeah. A couple other things that happened. I loved Mimi in the diary room casting her vote and just being like, no, I know all these people are snakes. Like that was a great little, because we don't, you know, actually Mimi does do a lot of cam talk, but again, they're really not showing her on the show. So that was kind of fun that, you know, casual viewers kind of get a little bit more of Mimi. And then what else? Oh, Jared, you know, now that Izzy's gone, seems to be, he went to Sheree and kind of hinted that Blue knew some stuff and sort of tried to blame it on Izzy. So that's fun. But as it stands today, Sheree still does not know that Blue knows the secret. And Blue's been up and down. She was mad at Jared. There's a lot going on there that we'll get into.
And also the Blue thing is kind of weird because yes, she knows, but she hasn't done anything about it. So like, does she really know? Like, yes, we know because she said in DR she knows, and we obviously know that it has like between Ceree and Felicia, it has to be Ceree because Jared wanted to evict Felicia last week. So she like based on all the information that she has to know that Ceree is Jared's mom,
Yeah, she
unless she
knows.
was just trolling her the entire time.
Yeah, she knows. I think she's been telling Matt and Jag and stuff like, oh, well, I know secrets that can ruin his game. And then she's like kind of after Ceree. So it's like very weird. The whole thing is strange to me. Like she seems to be playing a little bit, but I don't know, not in a great way. So we'll get to it. But the other
It's
big
coming from
thing,
mother-in-law.
her new mother-in-law,
Yeah.
the other big thing before we get into the HOH was, of course, the fight between, or I guess argument between Corey and Jared. You know, a lot of voices were raised, just accusing each other of lying. What did you get out of that fight? Did you watch it live? I, of course, was on a plane during it, of course.
Yeah, so I didn't watch it live because I was at work, but I saw clips of it happening and I got the breakdown of what was going on. I actually thought it was fun because you don't, and like for the past few seasons, we haven't really seen like fights happen as much. And with this house specifically, we've seen tension build up on the back burner, but it all culminated within this fight between Jared and Corey. Because of the fact that Corey has recently been noticing that Jared isn't being as truthful as he's acting like he is. And he's been having the impression that Jared has been trying to turn Corey and America against each other. And this whole thing about them. So seeing it all like culminate in this fight was fun, very entertaining.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's good to see Corey sort of stand his ground and not just, you know, let Jared gaslight him, because not only is it good for his game and his like reputation outside the house, but let's say he makes it to the end, you want to vote for someone who is going to stand their ground and who is going to be like, no, this is what I said, this is what I believe, and this is true. You don't want to vote for someone who you think is spineless. So it's good to see that he did actually. I thought he won the fight versus Jared, in my opinion. So
Well,
yeah.
he is a debate, right? Isn't he like a debate?
Yes, and it all showed like his debate skills just came out like crazy.
See, that's funny you said that because I saw a lot of people on Twitter say that they thought Jared won. Jared was just confusing people because he was talking in circles.
Yeah.
Clearly, he was lying. So I don't know. It
I
was
mean,
definitely entertaining.
yeah. I mean, Jared is a professional gaslighter from what we've seen, so it's like the debater versus the gaslighter, who's gonna win? And it's good that Corey didn't let him get gaslit.
Yeah, that was sort of a long time coming. So it was definitely
Yeah.
kind of fun to see. But yeah, in terms of the HOH, of course, it was the famous wall comp. We knew that was coming. Josh, they had like a Josh theme, which was fun. I just had Josh on the podcast. If you haven't, I hate to plug it again. But guys, this was like one of my favorite conversations because I just feel like he opened up and shared, and we had like a little more time to get deeper into stuff as opposed to just like, you know, a 10-minute interview or something. So definitely check that out. But that was fun. I love that they're doing these like throwbacks and bringing in past players, and I'm enjoying it, you know? So, Jared ends up winning the wall comp, which lasted, I want to say, like what, 20 minutes?
Less than an hour. It was like 47 minutes or something.
Oh,
46 minutes.
sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I thought it was 20 because I was counting down. Basically, it was before 10 p.m. Eastern, and I think it started at the end of, yeah. So definitely less than an hour.
Yeah.
People were dropping like flies, and we were talking about this on Twitter, but we the Big Brother community was talking about it on Twitter. But it seemed like they were definitely spraying them harder and with more stuff more frequently. So maybe that's why it went quicker. They also were all on slop that week. What else? But yeah, it is just interesting. Jared also, you know, I didn't mean to cause like a conspiracy theory situation. I was just noting that Jared was on the end, which seems to be a good spot. Taylor also won on the end, but Mimi was actually in Taylor's spot this year. But Jared, he did get hit with stuff. But in the beginning, I was like, he is in a good spot. But yeah, he ended up winning. I think the last two people were like Blue and Bowie Jane. Is that right?
Yes, Bowie Jane. She was going like Bowie Jane did amazing. So Bowie Jane gets a ton of shit for like not doing anything, but Bowie Jane is sort of developing into this interesting character because she's one of those players who has her own moral philosophy, which she will stick by till the wheels fall off. And that moral philosophy is, I've been playing an honest game, and everyone who wants to tell me that I haven't, fuck you all. And I would have loved to see Bowie Jane win just because I wanted to see like how she was going to maneuver when everyone who doesn't like talking game with her is now forced to talk game with her throughout the entire week. Because I actually do think Bowie Jane does have a good mind for strategy, but she just doesn't actively put her strategy out there. Because there's been a few times in the DR she'd make some like comments about what she's doing for a game that actually make a ton of sense, but people just don't give her that credit because she doesn't want to proactively engage in strategic conversations. So I was disappointed that Jared won, sadly. But yeah.
Getting into nominations, Jared, obviously is targeting Cameron, and he thought about possibly putting Jag on the block because one, Jag's kind of like his backup if Cameron ends up winning veto, but two, he wanted Jag to play in the veto so he could possibly beat Cameron. But he made a deal with Jag that he wouldn't put him up, and he put up Corey in America. And I don't know, but Corey didn't seem to like really campaign to him to stay off the block. I think he could have been doing a little bit more there, but he ends up putting up Corey in America. What do you think about this move and the plan to backdoor Cameron this week?
Yeah, so going back to Corey not actively fighting against the nominations, I feel like writing was sort of on the wall once they just got this big argument and actively proclaimed, I'm targeting you. Like, they didn't act like just that fight itself. It's like without being said, they're gonna target each other in that HOH competition. It was literally the whole house versus Jared. That what and Blue, obviously, who cares about Blue now? So the fact that Jared managed to win, that it was one or two V versus entire house, was one of those Cameron moments from last week where it was Cameron versus the house and Cameron ended up winning. Same thing with Jared. It was Jared versus the house and Jared ended up winning. So it was just like, at this point, you guys know I'm gonna put you up because I have to. But at the same time, you guys also know I'm targeting Cameron. Which I will say, I don't necessarily think is the correct move. What do you think about this move?
I'm torn. Well, one, Jared is very much on the train of like, Corey in America suck at comps. And I always find that's kind of stupid to say, only because these comps are so random sometimes, but I will say Jared, who is it? Jared, Jag, and most of
Cameron.
the guys are the same people are winning, right? So I understand, but like it's not out of the realm of possibility that Corey in America can win something. I mean, America, she was, yes, she dropped out of the wall comp quick, but like she was, in the pressure cooker for 14 hours. I think you shouldn't really count people out like that, but I don't know.
And also, can I just say something about the wall comp? So I've
Yeah.
been so right before when we figured out that it was going to be a wall comp, everyone online was like, oh, it's America's to win because of her body type. But I just want to say that the types of wall comps that have been happening since like Brother 20 haven't been the type of wall comps as they used to. Before, they would have this like long bar that they could hold on to their entire body with. So it was basically just based on how your body weight and stature. But now you have these grips on the wall that are all a fixed height. So your how well you're going to do in the competition is just dependent on your upper body strength and how well your grip is on those wall things. Because if you're super tall or if you're super short, your grip on the wall isn't going to be great at all. If you're the exact perfect height where your hands are able to just touch that grip easily, then you're going to win. And obviously, it is dependent on upper body strength, but it isn't that the wall comps now aren't just like, oh, who is the most slim is going to do well. And I think people need to start realizing that it's not the case anymore. Yes, we've had a few women win recently, but I do think a ton of men have been doing better. Like last year was Kyle and Joseph who were both in the end with Taylor. The year before that, I don't remember, but the year before that, it was also Cody did very well and he threw the competition to Danny. So, and Jackson Mickey won the year before that too. So it's like, yes, the wall comp in theory is suited for people who weigh less, but I don't think that nowadays it's geared towards that sort of
skillset. I think center of gravity does matter a little bit, but you're right, because like even the footholds were wider. I feel like they're wider, maybe I'm wrong, but like, or they sometimes are on a slant like a surfboard, but they weren't on like that this year. So there's definitely, they're changing it up, and I agree. I think every time they change it, it can advantage or disadvantage other people. So I mean, I definitely thought America had the endurance just from pressure cooker of like standing there for a long time, but that's a good point.
And ever since like the past four seasons, the wall comp has been going down in time. Like, 1 hour, 20 minutes, 1 hour, 45 minutes, 50 minutes. Like it's all been going down every season. So I think it's becoming more physical.
That's a good point. But yeah, getting back to targeting Cameron, I think it's tough. I do think Corey and America are a problem, but Cameron, and we'll talk about Vito, almost won the veto, and he is very good at competitions. And just with the double eviction coming up, there's just so many things. But what do you think? You think it's a, well, you said you think it's not the best move. Yeah.
Okay, so here's where my head at. I think that either targeting Cameron is a good move or targeting Corey in America is a good move. But it doesn't really matter what move he makes as long as he does the right work to back it up. So if you want to target Cameron, then I would expect Jared to do more effort to making amends with Corey and America if he's targeting Cameron. And vice versa, if he wants to target Corey and America, he may as well also try to build something with Cameron. But why I think Cameron would be loyal to Jared if he doesn't get backdoored is, let's say you're in Cameron's position and you have the chance to backdoor Cameron for the first time this season. And if you don't do it, that actively shows Cameron, I trust you. I had this chance to backdoor you and I don't want to do it. And that's because I want to work with you. And we basically said that Jared and Cameron have been winning back-to-back competitions for I don't know how long. So by taking out Cameron, not only are you taking somebody out who is a possible backup target if you get targeted when Matt or Blue or anyone else win.
Blue.
When that side wins.
You never know.
But when America and Corey wins, their backup target could possibly be Cameron, or it could get convinced to be Cameron if the opportunity rises up. So you're eliminating that possibility. And once Cameron is gone, you're the next biggest comp winner in line. So it makes sense for them to target you after that. So I'm really against the move. I think the move this week was to just actively build trust with Cameron, be like, we've been targeting each other for the past 2 weeks. Let's make a truce and, you know, move on from this, because we're the only ones that can win competitions, apparently. So wouldn't it benefit us to work with each other instead of just targeting each other? Get rid of the people who've been playing the middle of this entire game and just make it to the end that way. I feel like that would be the thing that would make the most sense in my mind.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that, but I think I think we have to remember that, like, they're coming off a week where Cameron surprised them and did these, like, you know, he's after Cerie. So, like, I think he's probably a little gun shy when it comes to, like, keeping Cameron around. But it's not the worst idea because Cameron... Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, torn about it. But I see your point. I definitely see your point.
Because even Jared was the number one target going into this week, and he just miraculously managed to win that competition. Had he would have been the target over Cameron this week had he not won. So I think the better move would have been to keep Cameron, but maybe I'll get convinced otherwise.
I mean, it's only Sunday. I mean, it does definitely, for now, looks like Cameron's leaving, but the ceremony's tomorrow. We'll see. Well, actually, getting into that, the veto. Okay, so Corey, this is an interesting draw. Corey got Haska's choice and picked Jag. And then America pulled Jag's chip out. So she had to redraw. And of course, she redrew Cameron. And so they played the veto. I think it was some kind of football themed competition. And Jag wins, which is very good for him. I think that's his second veto win. And Cameron, I think he was only a few seconds behind him. So again, Cameron's you got to watch out for him in terms of competitions for sure. So it looks like Jag did say, and Jared obviously supports this, that they want to use the veto and they're just deciding who to use it on. And so Jag was kind of like to Corey and America, like, figure it out. And so pretty much all weekend, it's like Corey and America just like arguing over who should the veto be used on. It's just a lot of those conversations. And I still don't think it's Sunday night now. I still don't think they figured it out. But who do you think they should use it on?
I feel like it makes the most sense for Jag to use it on Corey, just because Corey did pick him as house guest choice. So there's that, like, just inherent trust that's there. And I do think Corey is closer to Jag. And I think there's something that has to be said about the entire house's perception of, oh, Cameron and America being close to each other. So having them both on the block may be a good way to just nip that in the bud and ensure one of them goes home.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think Jag prefers to use it on Corey. He did say, like, if you guys don't make up your mind, I'm pretty sure he's going to use it on Corey. So we'll find that out on Monday. But some other stuff that's happening in the house, you know, Cameron, he's been told by America spilled the beans to Cameron, which did not thrill everyone. Like, Matt was pretty pissed about it and then ran to Cerie. But, you know, Cameron kind of knows he's the target and is going around he's telling Jared, like, well, if I'm in the jury, I will vote for you to win. And I really need to make it to jury. He's telling Blue, like, I need the jury money, which I hate when people just play for jury, but I do think that's just what he's saying just to say. He also said, like, oh, we need to split up the showmance of Corey and America, which should have had a red flag to Blue, because isn't she in a showmance? Like, that's a little confusing.
Also wants to split up the showmance.
But she hates Jared sometimes and, like, wants his mom out. So who knows what's going on with them. But yeah, I don't know how viable Cameron's game is right now, but that's kind of what's going on. But yeah, Matt's running back to Cerie and telling her everything. It seems like they're kind of solidifying their relationship. It's just a lot. And then Felicia and your favorite, Felicia, she's been having combos, you know, with Mimi, and they're just talking about, like, wanting to target Jag. I don't know. There's just a lot going on. I will say the one thing, Felicia's definitely catching on to, like, the lies that Cerie and Jared, you know, the whole Izzy going over her. I think Mimi kind of confirmed that Cerie and Jared were going to vote Felicia out at one point. So not great. But Cerie is working on Bowie Jane, which I think is smart. She's trying to get back in her good graces. So just a lot of movement, but, like, none of it will really matter until the double eviction comes on Thursday and we see how this plays out.
Yeah. So just to go back to the Felicia Mimi stuff.
Yeah.
I do think that Felicia getting almost evicted last week was a blessing in disguise. Because the way her game was panning out was she was going to be locked in to an end game potentially that included Cerie and Jared, which basically she would have a very low chance of winning. So the fact that she's lost trust in them now and is exploring opportunities outside of that is good for her game, because I do think Mimi is someone who would be somewhat loyal to Felicia. And I think it's important for her to look at avenues outside of Suri and Jared. So I'm happy for her because she's going in that direction. However, I do think they need to branch out more and sort of maybe link up with contingents of the other side, like a Corey or America, and have something more solid where they could potentially just win competitions and have power in their own hands, rather than just play the middle until they get chopped off because there are no numbers left on that side.
Yeah, I think Mimi like was talking to Corey, and I don't, and she was like, said she's feeling alone in the house and stuff. And I just, that was like Corey's opportunity to kind of connect with Mimi. And I think he kind of missed it a little bit. So that was kind of a dud of a, cause like Mimi, basically pencil Mimi and Bowie Jane in for like the long game here at this point.
Yeah. Okay. So the thing is, Mimi, I think, is very interesting because she's one of those players who has a distinct line between this is how I feel about the people I'm playing with, yet I still want to play with them in a game with. In the DR, we saw her being like, I know all these people are snakes, but we don't get it watching her on the feeds. We really don't get an inkling of how she feels about most people. She's mostly like a red flag. We see her talk to people like Suri, Felicia a lot, but we don't really know how, what are her internal thoughts. And the show doesn't give us a ton of her DRs anyway. So knowing that she is actively thinking about what's her best move moving forward and that people could be lying to her is good, because Mimi is someone who I think can emerge as a late game threat, because I think she can win competitions. And I think that if she just goes full force in the last stretch of the game, that she could build a resume fast. Yep. But the only problem I can see is if the Blue Jag Matt regain power and just consistently just target the other side, I can see Mimi being put up as a pawn just because she's an easy nomination, and her going home because she doesn't have a ton of people who are actively wanting to save her.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. She,
I think with Bowie James,
she's very smart. Like Mimi, I think, like you said, she kind of can separate things, and she knows like what's worth the fight and what's not, and that's why we don't often see her arguing over who's going home or whatever, because she's just fine. Like, it's almost like it's not me, that I don't care. So love that. And I'm kind of excited to see her maybe turn on more as the game goes on. So very exciting. But I do want to talk a little bit about the double eviction coming up, since we kind of know Cam right now is going. But for the double eviction, it's funny because for some reason, Blue and Jag think it's a great idea to throw the next HOH. Now, will that change once they find out it's a double eviction? Maybe. But Matt, they kind of tried to rope Matt into it too. And he was like, yeah. And then he's like, no. So what do you think? I mean, are they actually going to throw this? Or are they going to, once they see a double eviction, then everyone's going to play?
I think once they see double eviction and they, because it's not only double eviction, it's double eviction separating them from jury. So at this point, they're just going to be like, may as well win, ensure jury, and not throw the competition. I do think that they are in an interesting spot because they've sort of been pushed into the middle, not from their own doing, but they've just ended up there. So them making a move would negatively impact their game one way or another. But I'm not against them throwing the competition if they know who they're throwing it to. So let's say it's them versus Corey or America. Throw it to them because you know who they're targeting. But if you just throw the competition and someone like a Felicia or a Mimi end up winning, and you don't really know where their head's at, and you or your allies could be targeted, then don't throw it. So I do think they're in an interesting spot. I don't think that it's better to win a competition and know what's going to happen than to just rely on other people to make moves. Then this is like something that, with throwing competitions and that whole philosophy, there's always an idea in Big Brother with these players that it's all that they want to maximize the best move each week. I want to throw this competition, have this person in this competition. So because that's the most optimal for my game. But in actuality, you don't have to have the best move happen each week. As long as a move is good, that's fine. The best move doesn't need to happen for you each week. You just, because if you get too greedy and you want the best move to happen this week, then you're going to randomly end up in a scenario where like someone like a Cameron wins HOH and targets you, and that's going to mess up your game. So I think people need to calm down with throwing competitions and realizing that I don't care for the most optimal thing to happen. I just want something to happen that's a positive for my game, and I'm good with that.
That's a really great point. That just made me think a lot. Wow. No, I like that. Especially because, like, for example, Matt was saying to Jag, like, what if Mimi or Felicia wins? Like, what would they do? And Jag's like, I'm not worried about it. Meanwhile, I'm pretty sure Felicia and Mimi want to target Jag. So,
yeah, so
it's just a mess a little bit, but it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see what goes down. So Jared can't play, right, in the first HOH?
Nope.
So who do we think is going to win the first one? I mean, this is like a crap. I mean, we have no idea, but
yeah.
it could be Jag because he's winning, but it could be random, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure what they've been doing more recently with double evictions, like for the HOH competition. They used to be more, quiz competitions in the double and the physical veto, but now they've just been doing, I think, crap shooty type stuff or like a points competition where it's like, you get the question right, you get like a point or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it could honestly go anyway. If Cameron ends up getting evicted and Jared can't compete, then that's going to ensure, if Felicia doesn't win, then we're going to get a new HOH competition, because the only HOHs left in the game who are in the house are Felicia, Jared, and Cameron, who've won HOH. No one else has won an HOH that's still in the house.
Yep.
So it's going to open up a ton of doors as to what could happen. I think Suri and Jared are in danger come double. And I think Suri especially might be in danger, because let's say someone wins and puts Suri and Jared up. The veto is usually some type of physical thing. And if Jared wins the veto and it's Felicia and Suri on the block, or someone and Suri on the block, are they going to evict Felicia over Suri? Are they going to keep them? Like, it's getting towards like treacherous waters for Suri. So I'm sort of worried about that.
I think the double eviction is going to be very results oriented in terms of how the fans react. If Suri goes out, worst double
eviction. If Suri goes out, they're going to be... Okay, so what do you think for the fans would be the most fun? Like last year, we obviously had the double eviction where Michael got backdoored. That was fun because everyone thought Michael was going to win. He got backdoored and it was an entertaining double eviction overall. So what do you think would be the most entertaining outcome for the double? Like who going home, who getting nominated?
I mean, Jared. Everyone wants Jared gone.
Yes. So my best case scenario is Jared and Suri get nominated, stay on the block, and then Suri doesn't have enough time to tank her game to keep Jared in. So Jared goes bye-bye. And then Suri is forced to play the game for herself because she has no other option.
Because that would be amazing, to be honest.
Yes. The one thing I'm worried about Suri towards her like win equity is there's been this discussion of Suri potentially...
Yes, let's talk about this.
Okay, do you want to start?
Oh, well, yeah, just, I wanted to mention, there's been a lot of discourse about Suri was having a bad day, which a lot of people can have. You're in that house, you're going crazy. And she went to Jared and was like, put me up. Like if Jag uses the veto, just put me up, which is insane. We all know that. Jared didn't entertain it really. And even Blue was like, no, that's icky. And, you know, people were like, she's quitting. And she's throwing her game away for Jared. I mean, this is her child. Like, I don't want to speak for her, but like, you know, she's probably going through a lot. The other thing is like, I feel like so many people want to quit at some point. Like I would probably be in there being like stressed out one day and be like, F this game, like get me out of here. But that doesn't mean she's actually quitting. Until she walks out the door, I'm not going to say anything about what comes out of her mouth when she's having a bad day. But I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think?
Yeah, so that's definitely a fair point. We need to distinguish between her voicing thoughts about wanting to leave the game versus her actively, throwing her game away and going on the block. So had she done that, then I would have been like a bit sad because
Yeah.
it's going like it's disappointing to see Suri, who's obviously an amazing game player, throw her game for anyone, let alone her son. I don't care that he's her son. I don't care. It would have been sad for me as a viewer of the show. Yes, I can understand why she would make that decision. I can still be sad about it as a viewer of the show, though. So there's that. But also, Suri's been on Survivor where she'd have to starve for 39 days and have no food. She can get through Big Brother. So it's one thing to be like, I'm not feeling well, all this stuff. But Suri's been through this. So I think when it comes down to it, Suri is going to be in the game unless she has the choice, which is what I'm worried about. If
Yep.
she has the choice between saving her game or saving Jared's game, I think she's going to choose to save Jared's game every single time, which is understandable as a mother, but as a game player, it's like sort of sad. But like you can get, like Suri's had her experiences on all of her shows. She's had all of her. She won the Traitors like last month, so she's content. She wants to give her son an opportunity to win the game, which is fine. But I don't think that Jared has a better chance of winning the game versus Suri.
Oh.
No way. So if Jared gets evicted and Suri stays in the game, Suri, I think her win equity like go doubles because not you because she's isn't going through her game for anyone, and I think Suri has a path to the end game with someone like Matt. I think if Jared gets evicted, I think Matt and Suri are going to be the new Suri and Jared. Because Matt is someone who I think is very good for Suri's game. He spills her info and he can potentially win her competitions. As a player, Suri wants someone who can win something and take her to the end. Suri isn't the type of player who's going to win a wall competition, win all these part two, part three. She isn't going to win these competitions to get to the end. She's going to have to rely on someone to take her to the end. That's why I think Suri should like work on Matt hard. Yes, work on Bowie Jane too, but like work on Matt because I think Matt is a viable way. Like if Suri's in the final three with Matt and Bowie Jane.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Well, can I
Yes.
so the whole Matt of it all too is that Matt loves Suri. He also does not realize how dangerous she is.
No, I
I
don't
don't
think
think
so.
he's familiar with her Survivor game. I could be wrong. I don't think he realizes kind of she's the brains behind of a lot of stuff. And so that's great too, because not only does he like her and trust her and talk to her all the time, but I think he would be willing to go to the end with her because I don't think he thinks that she could win. Does that make sense? And then the other thing I want to play out though is that, okay, Suri and Jared are on the block. Whoever put them up, Suri, kind of folds. Well, one, Jared has been winning competitions, and a lot of people aren't, he's not, people aren't the biggest fan of him. So, one, would they pick Suri over Jared? Or two, if Suri's like, you know what, vote me out, I'm gonna bow out. If I'm Corey, I'm a diehard Suri. I know everything about her. That would raise red flags, no?
Yes, 100%.
So I'm trying to play it out of what that would look like if she threw her game away, if they were both on the block. And if I was Corey, for example, if I'm Corey or America and I put them on the block or whatever, I'd be like, why is she throwing her game away for this guy? At that point, does she say, hey, this is my son? There's so many layers to this. I'm like, what?
Yes. And does it make sense for them to get rid of Suri over Jared? Because yes, Suri is the mastermind, but she's been out first in like most of these competitions. If you're aware that she's running things, then you can just stick her out whenever you want. And that's why Suri makes it to the end of all these games. Because they know she, like on Survivor, she isn't gonna win an individual immunity when it counts. On Big Brother, they know she probably isn't going to win an HOH when it counts or a veto when it counts. So she's not the cameraman. They can take her out anytime from now till the end of the game. But Jared is the one that's been carrying them competition-wise. He's been clutch for the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks winning competitions. So if you take out Jared, then Siri has sort of been inoculated because, like, Siri is there. She's dangerous as... She's dangerous if you don't know she's dangerous. But if you know she's dangerous, how dangerous can she be?
Well, so, especially because she also, can't win comps. Right.
Because she can't win competitions. So that's why I think if Jared leaves, Siri can make it to the end of the game and potentially win if she plays her cards right. But that's if she does not throw her game, which is why it's essential. It's essential that Jared and Siri get targeted in double. Then she has no time to throw her game away for Jared and just evict Jared, and then she's stuck there. There's no point in her getting evicted now because she gets stuck in jury. So may as well play the game.
Well, actually, let's talk about that because it's a 7-person jury.
Yes.
So that wouldn't start until after the double?
Yes.
So if Siri goes home, she's not on the jury, correct?
If she goes home in the double, then she's not on the jury.
But we will say there's some twists, I think, there.
There's another very scary twist. So what I think could potentially happen is, okay, so numbers-wise speaking, if they do a double now and they have one eviction each week, then they're on schedule. But do you really think they're going to just do one eviction each week from week?
No, I think there might be another double toward the end.
I think there might be another double in that end game. But to compensate for that, they're going to have another week where someone comes back in the game or they cancel an eviction or something like that, which is why I think there is a chance where Julie said there is a scary versus twist to this double. It could just be nothing and just a normal little eviction that's like horror themed, or it could be that the evicted house guests like Cameron and whoever gets evicted in double gets sent to the nether region. And then they fight and compete, and one of them comes back from the other region to the game. That's one possibility. Another possibility could be it's a fake double eviction, and they evict someone, but then they don't go home. Now, I don't think that would be possible because they just had that same thing with Jag. So do they really want to do that again? No. So I think they're going to do a sort of thing where if they want to make a buyback, it's going to be Cameron leaves. Then let's say Jared gets targeted and leaves. Then both of them get sent to another region. Then they have like a sort of battle back type competition. The remaining for the winner gets out of another region and the other one gets evicted. That's something I could see happening. And they have another double down the line.
Yeah, I kind of think that too. I think there's going to be a buyback of some sort. They'll have another double. Because like, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of weeks left to this game. You know, it seems like it's been going on a long time. And it actually does seem like there's like not that many people left, but there are. And we're still in here till November. So can definitely see that happening.
Yeah, and as production, they usually like speeding up the end game where things become more stagnant than to speed up the game when there are a ton of people in the house. Because when you have more people in the house, you get more drama, more options. But the end game, it's like, it's said or done what's happened. Like, it's already done. So that's why they usually like having doubles towards the end game. And maybe they're, because I think they want to bring back this split house from
you do from last
season. I mean, maybe because that's effectively double eviction, so maybe bring that back.
I thought everyone hated that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, okay, they hated it because Joseph and Jasmine,
yeah, results oriented,
but and they also did that competition, like they did the whole thing wrong, where the people who won the HOH got to draft people on their team to be in the house. Had it just been random, then there could have been the potential for a scenario where someone who's in the minority in the entire house is now in the majority of their own subgroup and could take out the big target. So maybe this season doesn't fit well with the whole structure of the house being so fluid. It doesn't really matter. But just conceptually in general, it's something that I could see them bring back at some point down the line.
That's interesting. I mean, possibly, I guess. If anything, I don't mind if they do a little crazy stuff toward the end of the game, because that's when it gets kind of boring, the fewer people in there. So like, sure, throw something in there. I don't mind. But I don't know. I don't really love the split house of it all. But again, maybe if it's random, it's not as... There's so many layers to this. For right now, though, I'm very excited about the double eviction. I think that's going to kind of be another inflection point in the game of like, how are we moving forward after this night? So,
yeah,
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Is there anything else that we haven't covered?
I just wanted to get your thoughts on this 7-person versus 9-person jury. So
yeah.
Where do you lie on that? They haven't had this 7-person jury since Big Brother 14. So it's been a while. It's been 10 years since.
I'm trying to think like how it actually really affects things. Well, one, you have to worry about those relationships, right? So there's fewer relationships you kind of have to worry about.
And I think if there are a few seasons where it's jurors, like 9 and 8 are the ones who decide the game. Like Big Brother 20, Bailey's the one that decided that Tyler is going to lose. The season before that, I think Cody's the one that voted for Josh over Paul. So I think those 9 and 8s, if the jury is split, then those could be the deciders. So do you really want them to be the deciding votes, or do you want the deciding people to be the more towards the end of the game? Because there is a trend between early jurors voting for a certain person versus later jurors voting for another person. So it's interesting to just
I'm not sure I feel about it, but I will say like it also so dependent on who those 7 are. I just think that matters immensely, and then obviously the relationships you build and you know your speech at the end, I guess, even though most people already know who they're voting for at that point. So it'll be interesting because also like the jury roundtable will be smaller. I don't know. I'm interested. I'm glad that they're switching things up. Like I like that they try different things and they're bringing this back. I guess this is another thing that's probably going to be results oriented. Let's be real. Right. So yeah. Anything else? I feel like we've covered a lot.
Yeah, I think so.
No, well, thank you guys for joining this week. It's been super fun. Like I said, would love if you could subscribe on your podcast app, on YouTube. I don't want you to miss any videos, and I'm trying to plan some really fun stuff. Sin, next week, you're going to be excited because you know you love Big Brother Canada, and we have Kevin Jacobs on the podcast. Yay.
Yes.
So that'll be super fun. Please tweet any questions. Well, I'll send out a tweet, but any questions for him, you can tweet at me at Sharon Tharp. Sin, where can people find you? Because some people are asking.
Yeah, they can follow me on Instagram at whatever my name is. Just have it down somewhere.
Okay, yeah. It'll be in the lower third here.
Yeah, on Instagram. I don't have a Twitter. But like, there isn't anything on there, so I'm not worth following, so just don't follow me. It's fine.
You can't say that. There's people here who want to hear from you or find out where they can follow you.
If you want to hear from me, then tune into the podcast every week where you can hear my thoughts.
Okay, perfect. And honestly, if you guys have any suggestions of like who you want to hear on the podcast with me and Sin, let us know. And we'll try to get some more fun guests maybe throughout the season. But yeah, thank you for joining us. And I'll see you guys on Wednesday.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.